introduce our first speaker, Carla C., from the Moon Monday Meditation Meeting.
Hi, my name's Carla. I'm an addict.
Hey, Carla.
Just want to thank the programming committee for asking me to share my experience, strength, and hope. It's always an honor and a privilege to share for Narcotics Anonymous. I'm not going to lie, I don't like topic meetings. It kind of like makes me crazy in my head. So I try not to think about it until the day of. So this morning I was doing a gratitude list and I was like, oh shit, I have to share on this topic. And I wonder what I'm going to say. And so I just kept on thinking about nurturing desire. And I thought about the third tradition. You know, the only requirement for membership is the desire to stop using. And I really didn't understand step work. I didn't understand traditions. I didn't understand a lot of things. All I know is when I got clean, I wanted to stop using. I didn't know what I was going to do. And I was in a lot of pain. So I think I was thinking about my early recovery. My sponsor talks about, and I've heard her say a few times, about she has a clean date and then she has a surrender date. And so I thought about that, and I thought I have a clean date. My clean date is January 26th of 2000. And I remember that I had that moment. My husband at the time was using. I left him because he wasn't getting clean and I wanted to stay clean, and so I left him. And it was like 4 months in my recovery when his sponsor at the time had said, you need to come over here, I'm gonna talk to you. And he was contacted by my husband's, my in-laws, that he had shot up and he caused an embolism and it had burst. And, you know, you want to go and see him. And I went and saw him and it was really, really bad. He was not, he was under, he had all of this stuff on him. He was laying there. And I remember being at the bottom of his hospital bed. And I remember looking at him. And I remember saying this promise, saying, I'm not going to let this go in vain. Like, I really, really want to stay clean. And he made his choice. And this is my decision that I want to stay clean. And I remember that was at the end of 8 months, going on 9 months clean. So I really believe I had a desire. When I think about a desire, I think of willingness. You know, I think of the third step with the third tradition. And so, like, what am I willing to do to stay clean? So in the beginning, it was about getting to know me. I didn't realize that I was a fractured human being. I was always seeking something outside of myself to make me feel whole. I was always seeking something. I didn't realize it was always darkness. I was always seeking more pain. And it wasn't healthy for me. And I just didn't want to feel. And so it was really scary for me when I used to not think or feel. It was my way of just checking out. I remember when I was working in steps that it was always a job for me to like be perfectly numb and to have feelings. Clean was scary for me. So step work, I really wanted to change. I wanted to be healthy. I had shared last night, I remember my sponsor saying to me, she would never say things to me, and it was, I'm grateful for that. She never shamed me. She never made me feel bad, because I would get things from my family, you're bad, you're evil, you're this, you're that. And she would just say to me, you're just sick, Carla. You're really sick, and I just wanted you to get better. And on the outside, yeah, that's all great, but like, and she would say this in a loving way, you're ugly inside, so let's get that inside to match that outside. So she would always tell me about things to heal me and not shame me. And so I believe until I could get that desire, I had a desire just to be clean. But she fed and nurtured the desire in me by believing in me. You know, the sponsorship is so powerful that she loved me, and she nurtured me. And when I think of nurture, and I'm getting emotional, I don't know why, but here we go. When I think of nurture, I think of nurturing a baby. I think about wrapping some baby in a blanket and nurturing them and loving them. I think of plants, we nurture plants, we nurture, you know, our pets. It's a loving thing to do. And I didn't love myself. And I'm still working on amends to myself. And it's still uncomfortable being loving to myself, because like I live with myself, right? And like the disease still says things and whispers things in my consciousness, you know. So it's so important, that desire to keep nurturing the good in me, the light in me, because that is the most important thing that I need to do. That's my job, my only job, because it is love if I keep doing that. So in the beginning, that desire was about staying clean, working steps, finding out what my fears, you know, and I think that's the most important thing for myself even today, is to keep working the principles that I found behind the step work that I worked in traditions, and to keep nurturing that. And that's what I do today. Like, there's so many of us that are not coming anymore. And it's kind of scary, because we get so close to people here, and we love hard, and we love so much, and you know, and we invest. I think that's what's hard for me, is like when I nurture something, you know, that unconditional love, and then I have to remember it was out of unconditional love, because if someone decides to not come around anymore, if it's unconditional love, I shouldn't be angry at them. I shouldn't be resentful. I shouldn't say shouldn't. When I'm acting out of love and unconditionally, my ego shouldn't, there's that should again. My ego doesn't come in play where I'm upset with them or I'm angry at them. So it kind of like puts me in check, where that third tradition, where the desire, it's really none of my business why they don't come here anymore. Maybe they did lose their desire, or maybe they do have the desire to stay clean, but they have no desire to be here with us, and I don't have to take it personal. And when I look at, well, what are you doing? You know, I remember I had a sponsee. She had just celebrated, this years back, she had just celebrated 5 years in the summer. And it was July when she got her 5 years, and I gave her my 5-year medallion, and everything was cool. She got married in November. they went on their honeymoon. They were both recovering addicts, and they both used on their honeymoon. And I remember when they came back, I just knew in my spirit that she used. Things were just not lining up, wasn't coming around, and I remember seeing her face, and I knew just by the look on her face, it was like a snarl. She saw me, and I knew, like, she had used. And for the longest time, I would, why? And I remember in the middle of a meeting I was doing a lead, and I remember saying, you know, why? I don't understand. And then my higher power does that to me sometimes in the middle of a lead. I get my answers through my own lead. But like, quit looking around at who's not here and look at the people who are here. Because I really believe that's how powerful the disease is to make me look at the negative and not look at the positive that's right in front of me. So when I think of nurturing that desire, not just to myself and not just someone that I sponsor, it's for anyone who has the desire to walk in these rooms. And I think that's the hardest thing in the beginning, was to understand that my desire might look different than somebody else's. It's really none of my business of why they're here or how they got here, because we think about anonymity. It doesn't matter what we came from, what we were using, what our backgrounds were. It's about that they walk through the door. That's a desire enough, you know? And I thought of people in the rooms that were still using, and I would see people using under the influence of something. You know, even when I do H&I at this one facility that I go in, half of the room is nodded out, and I'm like, you know, and I have to remember, what's my desire? Quit judging their desire, because I don't know what that looks like. And that's not based out of love, that's out of judgment, you know? And thank God for the third tradition. And third step is it keeps going back to the willingness of, you know, my program. Well, what am I willing to continually do to spark and keep that flame going, you know? So I keep showing up. You know, I have a sponsor. I keep working. I think that's the most important thing right now in my recovery, is that I keep looking at myself and nurture and quit. I don't want to say quit, because I really believe that there are times, there's seasons and people in my life, they're there for a reason, that they're there to nurture me. But to nurture myself, you know, be loving to myself, and then be able to do that for somebody else, regardless of who they are. It doesn't have to be someone in my sponsorship family, you know. I don't want to get to the point where I'm narrow-minded and I start selecting the people that I am going to nurture their desire. And I think because when we show up here, that's enough. It's not about what we do on the outside. It's about someone showing up and being there and being willing to nurture that desire. That's all that happens.
All right, I'd like to introduce our second speaker, as Richard B. from the Without Parallel group in Ovella.
Come on, Richard.
My name is Richie.
Hey, Richard.
Hi, Richie.
Really grateful to be here. Thank you, Carla. I was really grateful when she stood up here and she said she really didn't like topic meetings because they make her go crazy in the head. I was like, I'm not alone. I've been nurturing the desire not to whip his ass all weekend. I'm gonna grab my water. Super grateful to be clean today. Super grateful for Narcotics Anonymous. It's one of them addicts who kept coming in and out of here, in and out of here, in and out of here. I'd come, I'd stay for a while, I'd leave, I'd go to the penitentiary, I'd come, I'd stay, I'd leave, I'd go back to jail. I'd come, I'd stay, I'd leave, I'd go back to another program, I'd smoke crack in the bathroom. If they gave out a trophy for smoking crack in the halfway house bathroom, I would have had the gold because I was a champ. And my last Narcotics Anonymous camp out was the Promise of Freedom camp out. It was back in 2013. I was using, I was shooting dope in my tent the whole weekend. I would go listen to the speakers and I would cry. And I didn't understand why I couldn't stop using. I didn't understand the weight of this program. I didn't understand that I needed help. I thought I knew everything. And I was too good for help. And so like I continued to use and continued to come here and continued to use. I did like a lot of time on the streets and shit. I'm like one of them professional homeless people, man. I got a house today and shit. You know, my clean date is February 6th of 2019. I haven't found it necessary to use since that day. I'm originally from the Albany Rensselaer area of Narcotics Anonymous in New York State. And that's where that was my stomping grounds from the time I was a child till whenever. And I remember going to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting and couldn't stop using. I was always real honest. I was one of the people I'd be like, I use today. I'd stand up and get my white key tag. I'd be like, I ain't got a day clean, but I got a right to recover. You know what I mean? And I'd stand up and I'd get my white key tag. Someone sat me down and said, you don't ever have to use again. And I was like, I didn't understand that, man. And I understand it today, man. I understand that with the help and loving higher power. I don't understand my higher power. All I know is what our second step says about it is I can use it long before I understand it. And I know that I have a loving power, loving higher power. I know from my story that something has been looking over for me. I should have been dead in an abandoned building or something a long time ago, man. And so I went to that meeting, and that dude was talking to me, and I left, and the next morning I was dope sick, and I robbed a bank, and the whole time I was walking up in there, and like, I didn't even have a mask or nothing. I was just so broken and so hopeless and so just sick, man. I was so sick. I took this Walmart bag, I put a couple DVDs in it, I took my teeth out my mouth and shit because like I got false teeth and shit. And I went in there and I was like, nah. The whole time I'm walking in there, that's all I could hear is, you don't ever have to use again. You don't ever have to use again, you know? And like, I ended up doing 30 months. I came home August 31st of 2016. I remember I had to report right to parole. As soon as I got off the prison bus, they like drop you off at the bus station in Albany, New York. I got off the prison bus, I went up and I reported to parole. And he gave me a urine test. I'd only been out of prison for about 2 hours and I pissed dirty because because I'd been using in the penitentiary, and he said, you couldn't even wait. I said, man, I said, I've been using the whole time I was up north, and he's like, you gotta do something. And I made a decision myself. I knew I had to make it back to Narcotics Anonymous, but I made my own decision without help, and I went to the methadone clinic. I'm a methadonian. I'm one of them guys that came here for years on methadone. If you're on maintenance, man, just please keep coming. You have the right to recover. Please keep coming. It's a part of my story. And I know that somewhere in my life along the way, that it probably saved my life. And, I've been clean of all mood and mind altering substances for 4.5 years now, man. And it's a beautiful feeling. I didn't know what freedom was. I didn't understand. When I came here, I didn't understand anything, man. There was people sharing about they work 40 hours a week and they got a car payment. I was fucking weird for that. I'm not getting out of bed to go to work and all that shit. And when I went to a treatment facility out here in PA, and I was at the end of the road. I had OD'd, almost died, and I still couldn't stop using, and I decided to go to treatment. I went to a treatment facility out here in PA, and I was talking to this lady. She was my counselor or whatever, and she was what do you want to do? And I was I said, I don't want to do nothing. I said, what do you want me to do? What do you need me to do? I was done. I said, just tell me what to do. I said, I want to go back to Troy and go back on the street and shoot dope. That's the only thing I've known my whole life. You know what I mean? And she said, I know a program for homeless people in Washington, Pennsylvania. And I went there. I went there on February 5th of 2019. I used that morning in treatment because I don't know. Y'all know what we do when we go where we go. We keep continuing to do what the fuck we want to do, and that's what I wanted to do. And so they brought me to that program, and I woke up the next day, and like I said, I never used again. And I had stopped using so many times, man. I had stopped getting high so many times, and told myself, I'm done. I'm done this time. It feels different. And I used again. When I went to Washington, I thought I was doomed to keep using. And I thought I was going to continue using. I went to that program, and I don't know how, but I stayed clean this time, man. This disease does not play. It's never played with me, man. It took a lot of years of my life, my family. It took a lot of years of my life living in the street, man. I was homeless, street surfing kid. I was just a street kid for over 20 years. That's all I knew how to do. I remember being a small child, I started using drugs and shit, and I started transforming into this person and into something that nobody wanted to be around. Nobody wanted me, nobody liked me. I wasn't allowed at my mother's house no more, and I stayed in that illusion for so long that illusion became my reality, and that illusion was all I knew. It was all I knew. I didn't remember my morals. I didn't know that deep down in my subconscious that there was a good person there, man. I'm a decent person. They had someone had called me last year to come out here to share, and she was she asked me to share. She gave me the date, and I was yeah, I'll come out and share. It would be an honor to share. So I told my significant other, and she's like, you can't go out and share that. She's like, we're having a baby 3 days before that. And that's my daughter over there, actually, May. So, and being clean and staying clean is beautiful, man. Having a program and being around people that actually love you for you and not for what you have, man, is amazing. The only love I ever knew was street love. One day I love you because you got it. One day you love me because I got it. The next day nobody loved nobody because ain't nobody got shit, man. And that was my reality. I didn't know. I just didn't know, man. I didn't know anymore. I was so sick and so in a lack of understanding of how to live life. I remember being in a halfway house in 2012. I didn't even know how to fold my own clothes. And I didn't know how to do anything. I still don't really know how to live. Like, I'm still learning how to live, but like, today, like, I have help. I'm so grateful for sponsorship. I came up in here for like 8-9 years and wouldn't get a sponsor. Then I'm at the crack house like this, be like, I can't believe I'm here again, you know what I mean? But like, I never wanted to ask for help, man. I was just a scared kid. And I don't know if I thought I knew everything, but I was like, our basic tech talks about being terminally hit and fatal cool, man. Like, I thought I was cool, man. And I was too good for a lot of things. I go in a program and someone be using, and I didn't know the difference between telling on somebody and saving my own life. I didn't know that there was a difference in that, man. And I would end up using with these people, man. And because I just didn't understand. I remember when I was in the homeless program in Washington. I had about 5 months clean. This kid offered me drugs, man, and like. And I was riding the top bunk and I was crying, man. I didn't know what to do. I never told nobody in my life. I'd never done nothing like that before. I was crying, man. I didn't know what to do. I picked up my basic text and I opened up to it. I just opened it up and I started reading, and it was in the first step, and it said, either we change our old ways of thinking completely or we go back to using. And I was like, fuck this, man. I ran right in the office and I was like, yo, man, this kid offered me drugs. I've never done this. I cried for like 2 days, man. It was so uncomfortable to save my own life, man. I didn't realize I was just saving my own life, man. I'm so grateful that I made that move. If I didn't make that move that day, my story could be a whole different story. I might be living in Pittsburgh under a bridge right now, because that's what I do. That's what I know. I'm one of them dudes who fly signs like, yo, be a baller, spare a dollar. That's what I do. That was all I knew, man. And I drove up here. Like, I hadn't had a car in like 15 years before I got clean this time. And I'm just so grateful, man. I'm grateful for the committee that asked me to share, man. And like, if you're new and you don't know what's going on, man, like, it's okay, man. And none of us knew what the hell was going on when we got here, man. There's a line in the basic text, it's one of my favorite lines. It says, we don't have to understand the program for it to work. All we have to do is follow direction, man. So if you're up in here, you don't know what's going on, all you have to do is follow direction and just keep coming. That's all I got. Thanks for